Well, good morning. Good to have each one here today. I'll write a few things here on the board. I'd like to talk to us about a story. It's in the Old Testament about Joseph. And I'd like for us to consider the character of a godly man. I know some of us may be more familiar with the stories of the Bible characters than others, and I'm not going to try to give you the whole story, but I'd like to pick up the story of Joseph in Genesis, the 37th chapter, and we're not going to flip around in the Bible today, Lord willing. We're going to be all in the book of Genesis. And I'm thinking about in the past when I thought I was becoming a man, and sometimes as time goes on, you realize how immature you were when you thought you were mature. And so we're going to look in Genesis chapter 37. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. And for just a little bit of background, Joseph's father's name was Jacob. Jacob had a name change after a close encounter with an angel, and he became known as Israel, and therefore the people known as the Israelites are descendants of the man that started out life as Jacob. So that's a little bit of background. So we start here in chapter 37 of Genesis, and it says, "And Jacob," that's the man we were just talking about, "dwelt in the land where his father," and his father was Isaac, whose father was Abraham. So I know I've thrown out a bunch of names there, but says here, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old." Now, I would guess today, if we had a room full of 17-year-olds and young men, and you could line them up, and I don't know how you can picture this in your mind, but if you could ask them individually without others overhearing the answer, "Do you think you're a man?" They would probably say yes. I doubt that you would ask a 17-year-old young man in our world today, "Are you a man yet?" And them say, "Well, no, I don't think so. I'm just a kid." I don't think they would say that. I think every one of them would say, "I'm a man." So I just brought that to our attention because it gives us a reference point that Joseph was 17 years old. "Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Now, there's a lot of other background information we could give about this. And Joseph was the 11th son in birth order of Jacob. Jacob had more than one wife. It wasn't wise then, and it's not wise now. But Joseph was the oldest child of Rachel, his wife. Joseph was the 11th son born, and there was one more son, and those 12 sons became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. This message is going to be kind of deep this morning, so I'm throwing out a lot of information here. Joseph was the son. He was 17, and he was the 11th, so I don't know how much older his older brothers were. I didn't reference all of that this morning, but He had brothers that were easily old enough to be his father, okay? But he was with his brothers, and they were taking care of their father's sheep and livestock. It was they were herdsmen, they were farmers, if you will, and he was out there with them. And it says here that that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. I don't know what that evil report was. There's other things we're going to read about here this morning that were definitely could have been included in the evil report, but I have to think that there was some kind of bickering and griping and complaining that was going on before these other events. My grandfather, I told you I've raised with a bunch of old adages. My grandfather used to say, my mother told me he said this, that one boy was a whole boy and two boys was half a boy and three boys was no boys at all. In other words, the more boys you have in a household, the more mischief that can be stirred up. I had four, and Joseph was the 11th, and I can only imagine how much mischief and trouble that 10 older brothers and bickering and sibling rivalry and all that was going on. I don't know what all it was, but it says here that Joseph, and at the time maybe he was the baby, and he brought the evil report back to Dad. Just get that picture in your mind. And yet Joseph said, would have probably said, if you ask him, are you a man? He probably would have said, well, yeah, I'm 17. They would today, I know. So now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. That's not wise either, because he was the son of his old age, and he happened to be about 90 or 91 when Joseph was born. That's just according to what I find in the scripture. He was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And this was something that was special, and it was special and not like weird, because it says, and when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. You ever been in a situation like that, where somebody wouldn't or couldn't speak peaceably unto you? This is the atmosphere that Joseph was in. On one side, his father loved him, made him feel special by giving him a special coat. I wouldn't want a striped coat. I don't know if that's what it was or not, but you know, if you're going to give me a coat, make it all one color. I don't want the sleeves orange and the rest of it green, and I don't want that. But I don't know how it was, but it said it was of many colors, and it was special. It was unique. It was something that would be considered of high value and of importance, okay? But his brothers that had been all this other ruckus that was going on, and Joseph had brought an evil report back to his father, now it says they hated him. They didn't like him at all. So, fifth verse, they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. Couldn't say one nice word to Joseph. And Joseph, in verse 5, dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So it just went from bad to worse, out of the frying pan into the fire. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. This is Joseph speaking. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. That's something that the brothers would have possibly been doing together. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Or in other words, they bowed down. This was like when they would gather grain. We have combines today. But they would cut the grain off and tie bunches of grain together, and it would stand it up and let it finish drying. And then they would come along and pick the grain up and thrash the grain out. But he said, my little bunch of grain was standing up straight, and yours are kind of all bowed there like they was bowing down to me. Well, how well do you think that went over? You know, at 17 years old, sometimes you say things you probably shouldn't have. At When you're in your 50s, you probably won't tell all of your dreams or ideas that pop into your head. Just not wise. You've lived long enough to realize that if I tell the first thing that pops into my head, others are probably going to start looking down on me. And he already had a bad situation, right? Brothers, sibling rivalry. Father treated him special. They didn't like him. They wouldn't even speak to him nice. And now he starts telling them a dream. This is not good. Now, I wrote underneath Joseph up here, character of a godly man. I'm going to tell you, he's not getting off on a very good start for having a real happy life, is he? So it says here, and his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. Still is not very mature. And said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. This is the man that treated him special. He rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the same. His father didn't appreciate the dream, and yet he wondered if maybe there was something going on. He observed. He was paying attention. Maybe there's something here that was not just a harebrained idea of Joseph, but maybe his inspiration and the motivation behind this dream was something more. That's what I get out of this scripture. Maybe, Jacob thought, there was something here going on besides just my 17-year-old doing 17-year-old stuff. I've watched four young men grow up in my house and pass that 17-year-old mark, and they all did some things that were a little bit harebrained. You know what I'm talking about? Just, son, why did you do that? We've lived through it. Thankfully, no one was seriously injured at my house during those times, but there were times that it's like, why? Why did you do that? So, but I wasn't guiltless either because I was 17 once too. So here we go down this road of life, and Joseph has dreamed some dreams, and we find out later on as time developed that most likely his dream was something that God was trying to get a hold of his heart. You know, the best time for God to get a hold of your heart is when you're young and before you're fully mature and set in your ways. You know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. That's another saying. But the better, the sooner we learn how to turn our hearts and our lives to the Lord, the better off we'll be. And here Joseph was stumbling along, you can say. He was acting like a typical 17-year-old, saying things at not the best time, or maybe to the best people. Maybe it would have been better for him to just tell the dreams to his dad in private and say, Dad, what do you think about this? Is this something that could be important? Give me a little insight and understanding. But no, he didn't do that. He told his brothers, the ones that were obviously implicated in doing the bowing down. And they were all older than him, except for one. He had one younger brother. But here we go, down the road of life. And we're talking about the character of a godly man. Just because we don't start out on the right foot and we make some wrong choices and sometimes we do some things that are unwise doesn't mean that we're going to end up bad. All right? Joseph didn't start out the best. Maybe circumstances could have been improved a little bit that he wasn't even part of. But irregardless to that, we find here that I believe that Joseph had the character of a godly man. So stay with us. We'll try to get to the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's go to Genesis 37, same chapter. We're going to skip down to the 27th verse. And I want to show you how toxic the relationship got between Joseph and his brothers. Remember, he was favored. He had special coat. His brethren had been told his dreams that although they were legitimate and although they were important and although they were a something that was foretelling some things in the future, yet probably wasn't the right time or the place, okay? So in verse 27, the situation here is that his brothers was off at a distance taking care of the sheep flock or the herd, and his dad said, Joseph, here, I want you to go down and check on your brethren. I want you to go find them and kind of find out how things are going. So when his brethren saw him coming, you could see him from a distance because of what? Had the coat of many colors on. So they said, verse 27, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. They got him. First they thought about killing him. They hated him pretty bad. They decided, no, they kind of talked amongst themselves, we can't do that. We'll just throw him in this hole in the ground over here. So they throwed him in an old well or a place he couldn't get out of. And then they saw these gypsies coming along and they said, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brother and his brethren were content. Although we hate his guts and we wish that he wasn't alive, we really shouldn't kill him because he's our brother. Now, there's some times, four or more boys, remember. There's some times that intensity, it gets pretty intense around the house. I still got a hole in the bathroom door because of that. One boy was chasing another boy with a broom through the house, and they got in the bathroom, slammed the door, and they got poked it partially through the door. Still got that souvenir. Then they're passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph unto Egypt. Okay. Major change in Joseph's life. Favored son, had the freedom and the liberty to dream some dreams. Didn't always use the greatest wisdom, but anyway, all of a sudden, he had an abrupt upheaval in his life. More than just sibling rivalry, more than his brothers. He knew they didn't like him, I think. Surely he wasn't oblivious to that. And how did he approach his brothers? I mean, did he just march into their midst, completely oblivious to their animosity? I don't know. But it appears that somehow he followed his father's instructions, but when he got there, his brothers that didn't like him at all, they began to take matters in their own hands. And ultimately, Joseph was sold into slavery. First account, one commentator says that we have recorded of someone being sold into slavery. They took money and he was to be a servant, a slave. Someone that probably thought he was a man, that went from a level of maturity and being his own man, so to speak, to now somebody else is going to tell him when to wake up and when to quit working and maybe give him a little bit of food. He went from privileged to underprivileged. He went from favored to unfavored. His life was turned completely upside down. Now he's a slave headed to Egypt, a far distant land that he's never been to before. And let's see what happens. You ever had your life turn upside down? I have. More than once. And when it does, there's a lot of temptations. I'm just going to tell you from personal experience, there's a lot of temptations to want to throw in the towel, to want to do something irrational, to want to do something that would only make matters worse. Had a little kitten one time, my brother and I, and we went on a vacation. And this was back in the days when my brother and I rode in the camper that was on the back of the truck, and Mom and Dad was in the pickup down inside, and we had the free room. I guess we could have opened the door and fell out the back, but we didn't. But we had a little kitten with us, and as we was going along, we had put a collar on this little kitten and tried not to get it too tight, and inadvertently it was a little bit too loose. And this little kitten somehow opened its mouth and got the collar hung on his bottom teeth, and they're sharp, you know. So he had his mouth open, the collar was hung on his teeth, and it was around the back of his head, and he couldn't close his mouth. Now, if you get a little kitten that can't close their mouth, and all of a sudden it's a surprise to them, guess what they did? The little kitten went kind of berserk. And we got him, we caught him, and we tried to help him. And we was trying to get this teeth that was stuck in this leather collar, we was trying to get it out. And did you know this little kitten didn't just lay down there and say, "Thank you so much for helping me." He stuck all of his claws out, and he began to scratch and make all the racket that he could, crying and carrying on, and we were all scratched up before it was over with. We finally got his little collar out of his teeth and got the crisis over with. But I'm going to tell you, many times when things go wrong and our life turns upside down, we stick all our claws out, and we begin to reacting in manners that would, it'd been a lot better if we didn't do that. Let's see what Joseph did. Remember, it said in the beginning that his father loved him. You remember that? Third verse that we just read. Now, Israel or Jacob loved Joseph. And I said it was unwise for him to love him more than his other children, but that's what the scripture says. Let's turn a couple pages to chapter 39, and we're going to pick the story up again here in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. So now he's been sold a second time, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, what did it say? It said the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Did you know when life turns upside down that the Lord will be with you? When things go completely wrong, sideways or whatever, the Lord will be there with you and for you if we're willing to wake up and be perceptive enough of where God is. And you know what God did for Joseph? It says here, he was a prosperous man. What does that mean? Things started going right. He was able to make good decisions. Did you know that when life turns upside down, many times we make bad decisions? And I'm talking about this morning the character of a godly man. When we recognize that God is there in our times of troubles and are willing to lean on His help and His assistance, He can help us make good decisions. It says here He was a prosperous man, and He was in the house of His master, the Egyptian, and His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Remember, he bought this fella. He's a young man. He's a slave, 17, maybe 18 years old. And he can recognize that although he's young, that there is something about, he's got a character about him that he is doing things in a way that is helping him. He's acting to Potiphar almost like a son rather than a slave. Almost like he was back with Jacob. Do you think, I'm just going to tell you, if one of my sons was sold into slavery by their three brothers, it would have been very hard for them to behave like my son when they were in servitude to somebody else. That's a hard thing to do. There is something about his character that's noteworthy here. It's something we need to pay attention to. In the time of calamity and distress and adversity, Joseph was able to lean on the Lord's wisdom, and the Lord was able to bless him and make what he did to really begin to prosper. It says here, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, and he put in his hand. And it only gets better from there. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, because of Joseph's character. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That is an amazing story, if it stopped right there. But there's more. Joseph had allowed God to help him in his time of upheaval, and his life turned completely around, and he was able, although he was a slave, he was doing the things that he ought to do. He was doing the right thing because it was right, and the Lord blessed him. And this man put so much trust and confidence in, he didn't even know what was going on except the next meal. He didn't know how many cattle he had. I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't know how much stockpile of reserves they had, money in the bank, if that was such a thing. He didn't know all that. All he knew was, it's meal time. I got to go down and eat. Joseph and his ability to manage my household is, I just live the high life, and Joseph is down here getting it, seeing that all the details get taken care of. But verse 7 says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Temptation came. Someone began to set a trap for him. He wasn't 17 or 18 anymore. I don't know how old he was, but he was a little older than that. He said he was a goodly person. I think he was a handsome young man. He says, but he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. I'm not going to fall to that temptation. He's put a lot of trust. He had the character of a godly man. I will not stoop to this immoral temptation that you have presented to me. He's put a lot of trust. Your husband has put a lot of trust in me. And I'm endeavoring to do this because I'm doing the things that's right, because I've been impressed by God to do what is right. I'm in alignment with a higher power. That's what we need to have. He had the character of a godly man. And I won't read it all, but I'll tell you that she carried through with her temptation and accused him to the point that her husband, when he found out about her accusation, although it was false, we picked the story up in the 20th verse, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison on a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. Joseph was thrown into prison under a false accusation. A man that God had blessed. And Joseph had been able to see how the Lord had used his him and blessed him with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and he saw the whole thing. Can you imagine your life getting turned upside down again? Got thrown in prison. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's important. I said this before, but when your life gets turned upside down and everything goes backwards and sideways and out the window, did you know the Lord will be there for you if you'll look for him? It says the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. And whatsoever he did, there he was the doer of it. And the keeper of prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. Here we go again. I know this took some time. It didn't happen the next morning. It took time for Joseph's character to begin to be demonstrated, the character of a godly man. And it came to the point that the keeper of the prison said, Joseph, why don't you take this responsibility? Joseph, I don't know all the circumstances of why you were put in prison, but here is something that I want you to do. I believe I can trust you with this. And one thing led to something else, to the point that the keeper of the prison had just turned the whole thing over to Joseph. And there was two men that got thrown in there that were from the king's palace, from the Pharaoh's palace. And they had a dream. God used Joseph to interpret those dreams. And he told one of them, you're going to be restored to your position. And the other one, he said, they're going to take your life. You're going to be executed. But he told the one that's going to be restored, he said, when you get back there to Pharaoh's house, he said, put in a good word for me. You know, I know the Lord has helped me down here in my troubles, but I'd kind of like to be out of prison. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what Joseph said to him. If you could, say a good word for me. Remember, I'm down here. Don't forget, I'm the one that told you how God was going to work in your life. And 2 years later, they did. 2 years later, he remembered. And he remembered because Pharaoh had a dream. And you remember Pharaoh's dream? He dreamed that there was seven skinny cows come up out of the river, or seven fat cows come up out of the river, and then seven skinny cows come up and ate the seven fat cows. And then he said there was seven lean ears of corn that ate up seven fat ears of corn. And the king said, I don't know what this means. It must be important, but I don't know what it means. The man that had been in prison said, I know this guy. I know this guy that God will probably help him to give you the answer to your dream. I'd like to turn to the 41st chapter now. Try not to belabor you with too many details. Let's go down to the 37th verse. Joseph called him out of prison, told him the dream. God used him to translate the dream. 37th verse, and the king was good, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man, or such a one as this, is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has shewed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be great. Here goes Joseph again, going back up to the top. Things are looking good, aren't they? Why? Because he had integrity. Because the character, he had the character of a godly man. And it says, I believe, Joseph in verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 13 years have passed since he was that 17-year-old young man that had the harebrained dreams that he told his brothers, maybe unwisely. I don't know whether you think it's unwise or not, but here he is, 13 years later, been sold a slave, rose to preeminence, got thrown in prison, been in prison. Now here he is, pulled out of prison, and he's in a place to really, life is going to start taking off for him again. He was given a wife, and you know what, I'm thinking about this. You know, we read the story of Joseph, and it's just like Joseph just knew how to do the right stuff. But, you know, I believe Joseph was a man just like me. Joseph had emotions. You know, he felt betrayed. You know what it feels like to feel betrayed? You know, it said his brothers was angry at him. You know, it's pretty hard for you not to have to deal with anger. Even the character of a godly man is going to have to cope with the feelings of anger. There's things that happen that would make us angry. And we have to learn how to deal with that. Joseph knew what it meant to have heartache. Been 13 years since he'd seen his dad. He didn't know if his dad was alive or dead. He didn't know if his brother was, all of his brothers. He didn't know if they were alive or dead. He knew what it meant to worry. He knew what it meant to be despondent. I got to think that the prison he was in wasn't as bright and cheery as the chapel is. It was probably kind of dingy, maybe a candle or two here or there, probably kind of dirty. I know he knew what it meant to be frustrated. You know what it would mean to feel that you were sold into slavery, went from one thing to something else, and find yourself at 30 years old and realize that all your youth had been kind of snatched away from you? He's a man of emotions, just like we are. And here he was at this place, found himself in a place where he could help mankind. You know, he could have said, Pharaoh, listen, I'll do what I can for you, but I got to go check on my dad first. But we don't find that in here. We find him stepping up to the plate, taking care of the 7 years of plenty. You can read the details if you want to about this story. And then when the 7 years of trouble started coming, in the 43rd chapter, we're going to turn and read something there. Joseph, first his brother came down to Egypt to buy some corn, some grain, because the famine was hurting them too. And he came down, and one thing led to something else, and he told his brothers, is this all of you? They said, no, we got a little brother at home, a younger brother. He's the only thing my daddy's got. You know, we had another brother, and he's not anymore. They told Joseph's own story, and they told the heartache that their dad went through and the grief. Said about killed our dad. I'm paraphrasing all of this. And we're sorry we did it now, but we don't know. We don't know what happened to Joseph. And they were telling Joseph this. You see, the story, they didn't recognize him. He looked like an Egyptian by now. 26th verse of the 43rd chapter. Joseph told him, if you ever want to come back and buy more, you got to bring your little brother with you. And they did. 26th verse, 43rd chapter. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. This sound like one of those dreams? And he asked them of their welfare, and he said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin. That was the youngest boy. That was the 12th son. His mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. His emotions were too much. This is his little brother that he hadn't seen for maybe 20 years or more. He saw his other 10 older brothers, the ones that had thrown him in the pit, the one that sold him into slavery. But this is his little brother that he loved. The emotions was too much. Remember I said Joseph was a man of emotions just like we are. How would you handle this situation? The whole time, my youth has been stripped away from me because of my older brothers. Remember, we're talking about the character of a godly man. You know, it was in his power. It was in his, within his realm. He could have took his brothers, put them all in prison, throwed the key away, and said, "Now, y'all see how you like this? This is where you put me. You put sold me into slavery." He could have done all of that, but he didn't. He was merciful to them. He gave them a chance to bring his little brother, and they did. And it ended up in the 40, let's read some more. 44th chapter. Well, I'm going to read the 12th verse beginning. And he searched and began at the elders. He said, when you give them their sack of corn to go home, put their money in their sack, and he said, "Put my cup, my special cup, in my little brother's sack." And so they apprehended him, accused him of stealing something, and they started searching. And they searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their clothes and laid it every man on his ass or his animal and returned to the city. And Joseph and his brethren came to Joseph's, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground, and Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Don't you know that I can read your thoughts?" Really, he was tricking them. You think they ever tricked him? He was testing them. Maybe not like he got tested, but he was testing them. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father." He said, "I'll just take the little guy over there. I'll just keep him as my slave, and the rest of you can go back home." You remember, these were the same 10 men that had thrown him in the pit and sold him for a slave and turned him out and went back home and said, "We don't know, Dad, what happened to him. We just found his coat here. It's got blood on it. Maybe he got killed by a wild animal," and broke their father's heart. These are those same 10 men. And Joseph now, the one that had had the coat of many colors, he says, "Just leave the little one with me. You guys can go on back." And Judah came near and said unto him, "Listen," I'm using my words, "you don't understand. You don't understand what's at stake here. We can't go back. We love our father. And our father would die if we came back without Benjamin." I'm just filling in the lines in my words. "We can't go back. I tell you what, I'll stay and you let him go back. I'll be your servant. I'll be your slave forever." (clears throat) 32 through 34, I want to read that. "For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, 'If I bring not him unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father and the lad? Be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that should come on my father. You know, these men had had a change of heart. These were the men that had sold Joseph into slavery. You know, it wouldn't have never come to that if Joseph had not had the character of a godly man. It never come to this point. Chapter 45, beginning in the first verse. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And he meant all the Egyptians. "And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They couldn't believe where they was at. This man was extended mercy to them. You've heard the expression, guilty of sin. They were guilty of sin. They were terribly guilty. And Joseph had let them live. And he had said, "Does my father yet live?" And Joseph said unto his brother in verse 4, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not angry, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." You know, there was something about those dreams years ago that I had that God was trying to give a path of preservation. There was something that he was trying to, a message that he was trying, and maybe I didn't tell the dream the right way, but the Lord used the circumstances of life to bring us to this point. And there is hope. He went on to tell them, there's going to be 5 more years of this famine. You're not going to be able to survive, but I've got plenty of grain here in Egypt. Go back and get your families. Go back and get my dad. Y'all come down here. And Pharaoh, when he heard about it, he said, give them the best land. Because Joseph, you've saved our whole country. You saved our whole people. This is what happens when there's a man that has this type of character. It's not very common in our world today. People are looking out for old number one. They're looking out for themselves. And when things go wrong, they're like my little kitten. They begin to scratch and claw and howl and carry on. Because things is not going right. But Joseph got his life turned upside down over and over again. And yet, he did not allow it to separate him from the love of God. He allowed himself to be used of God. He looked around when he felt all alone. And he recognized that God was there to help him. It said, I read it to you, that God was with him when those kind of things happen. And I'm here today to tell you that God will be with you when things don't go right. Sometimes we have to look around quite a while before we recognize where he's at, but he will bring us through. I've never been sold into slavery. I've never been thrown into prison under a false accusation. But I know that if I were, that God could be there and would be there to see me through. I believe that. I've had things that blew up in my face and things that didn't turn out like I thought they would. And it's hurt. And I've grieved. and I've worried. And I've had things that's caused me have to deal with the emotion of anger. And yet I know that God has been there and has brought me through those times. And He'll be there for you too. We can have the character of a godly man today. In the day that I don't know what's in all in your life. I know what goes on in my life. I know what goes on in my head. I know the disappointments I have to deal with. And we see that Joseph had emotions too. He wasn't some kind of robot that just did what he was supposed to do. He dealt with emotions. And God was able to use him exponentially. And He can use you too. No matter who you are, He can use you too. I'd like to turn to chapter 50. We're almost done. Thank you for bearing with us. In chapter 50, in verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, so fast forward, Joseph's brothers, his father moved down here. Joseph's brothers, you know they always had something to worry about. When you cause a lot of trouble, you got a lot to worry about. And they caused a lot of trouble. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You know, there was a good reason for them to think those thoughts. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall thou say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. It touched his heart. Jacob was, as Scripture says, he was 147. And by deduction, we can determine that Joseph was about 56 at this time when his father died. 56. You think a 56-year-old man is mature? He's a man by then, isn't he? If he isn't, he sure missed his chance. He's going to make a wise decision now. If you got something coming, he's going to give it to you. His brothers were worried. His brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? There was nothing fearful to be found in Joseph's character. Joseph was not going to be vindictive. He knew what it was like to have God's, you know, God's character will not let us be vindictive. He won't let us execute our persecutors. Oh, we're going to struggle with lots of emotions, but He won't let us do that. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. The Israelite nation, the Egyptians. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones and be comforted them. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Another 44 years he lived. And in those 44 years, he never changed his mind and said, you know what? I'm going to get rid of all those brothers and all of their descendants. He never changed his mind. Why? Because he had the character of a godly man. It's very valuable today. I'm going to tell you, life has some hard lessons. And life will deal us some things that turn us on our top sometimes and cause us to feel like we're down for the count. But I want you to remember what the scripture says. When Joseph's life was turned upside down, the Lord was with him. The Lord helped him through those times. The Lord will help you. He will give you strength. He will give you the direction of what to do and what to try. And he will bring you out into a place that'll be better than you ever thought it could be. I desire your prayers. I want to have the character of a godly man. I want to resist the temptations that come my way. I don't want to allow emotions to rule me to the point that I make a bad decision. I see Joseph struggling with emotions. Do you think he was dealing with emotions while he was being carried by those Ishmaelites down to Egypt? I got to think there was a lot of things going on in his head. There was a lot of, he may have been contemplating revenge. I don't know what all went on in his head. But by the time he got to Potiphar's house, he was willing to let the character of a godly man come shining through. And it did. And it will in you. If we will allow God to work in our life and in our distresses, he will let the character of his nature come through instead of us being reactionary to the events that happened to us. You pray for me.